Tonight's Gospel from Luke continues directly on from where we were last week. Last week we had Luke's version of the Beatitudes, and this is the next collection of Jesus' sayings following straight along. It seems to me that Jesus is probably addressing the elite in society more than those who are socially disadvantaged. I say that because as I look at the quantity within the text, it refers to things like if he takes your tunic, give him your other tunic. Well, the average person whom society had disadvantaged wouldn't have even had two tunics. They would have only had one. And about giving money, they wouldn't have had any money to give, to loan or anything. So it probably is that he is addressing the more elite in society, less as opposed to the disadvantaged. He then moves into, continuing his conversation, he then moves into what we very often know as the Golden Rule. And I introduced the Golden Rule to our first reconciliation children and their families last Wednesday evening and the first session as they prepare for that sacrament. And the Golden Rule basically is do unto others as you would want them to do to you, to do unto you. You could translate it whichever way you like. But it is not a golden rule that belongs to the Catholic Church or Christianity even. The golden rule, it seems to me, is embedded in humanity through many, many cultures and many, many religions. North American Indians have very beautiful sayings that go even further in terms of how we treat one another. They embed it in how we look after the planet, how we look after the earth, our environment. So they really take it a long way further. Now, the Golden Rule, it's easy to say and it's challenging to do, and I really don't know why that should be the case, but it is. And today Jesus says several times, love your enemies. I've never been in a position in my life where I have known blatantly that I have an enemy. There have been people that I've probably crossed paths with in an unhappy and sometimes perhaps unfriendly way, but I don't really know that I've ever had any enemies, if you're going to talk about, say, a Ukrainian-Russian kind of enemy. I don't think that's really been my experience. It seems to me, as a wise old, very deaf priest said to me years ago, and I may have quoted that here before, he just said, Richard, a third of them, that's you lot, a third of them will love you, a third of them can't stand you, and a third of them won't even care. And I kind of, that's Father Kevin's way of saying, just keep a balance. That's what life's like, just keep a balance. You get closer to some people than you do to others. When there are those that rub us up the wrong way, and in scriptural language today they would be called the enemy, and the language is then beefed up a little bit to don't hate your enemy. And hate's not a word that sits comfortably, I don't think, with anybody. I would hope not. But there may be people that have very, very severe issues because of experience that have happened to them, and they express hatred. I don't know how that is necessarily going to be bought out or acted out. We see how some of it is, and that's in violence. But for the main part, people who live a reasonably balanced life, it seems to me, hatred is not part of their language, it's not part of their behaviour. And if that's the case, then for the main part, it would be that we don't experience true hatred. But it does exist in the world, and the headlines are full of it. And Jesus gives us the option today. Well, it's not an option, actually. Jesus, Son of God. And we know, firstly, that God is love. That's the first thing we must remember. What is God? Who is God? God is love. If we use that as our starting point when we are in difficult situations with people, then we simply cannot go wrong. Jesus tells us to go further with those who we will call enemies. And that's not particular just to Judaism or to Christianity. The cultures of the world also, like the Golden Rule, have many ways of expressing how do you deal with difficult people. How do you deal with anger? How do you deal with hatred and anger and power when they come together in severe conflict? How do you do that? How do people who have gone through an absolute horrible tragedy, how do they turn that into something which is reflected in Scripture today? The murder of a child, for example. How do parents get to that point of living what the Scripture says? Now, that's a challenge that I hope you never have to face, but plenty of people have, unfortunately. So how do we get there? Well, the Japanese, in their culture, from the 14th century, they invented a thing called Aikido. And it takes the gospel, believe it or not, the elements in the recipe, but it uses the principles of Jesus' words today. And he says, with Aikido, which you've got the enemy against you, forcing you, then what you do is you take that and you go with it and you turn it back on them. So it's a going with. So if somebody is awful to you, then you would respond, as an example, by simply saying, bless you. And that would probably make them angrier and angrier, I would think. But you keep at it. It's the persistence. It's the hanging in there. And that's why Jesus repeats everything in the gospel. We don't give up. It's not a one-off. It is a course of action that requires a lot of work. And if we remember that God is love, then we know that God is in the middle of this action. If we discount that and say God is not here, then God is not in this action. We have excluded him and we're left on our own and we're going to get in hot water. We are truly going to land ourselves in big trouble, it seems to me. The North American Indians have a saying, when they are in conflict, it is two people, and then they would say, knowing when to walk away, that is wisdom. Being able to walk away, that's courage. And to walk away with your head held high, that's dignity. Now, they are the same words that Jesus is using here. We get the negative given to us, thrust at us, and we've got to turn it into something positive, because God is love, because God is present there. And it seems to me that when Jesus emphasises these things, love and forgiveness, and then compassion and generosity today, it seems to me that they go naturally together. What's the course? How do we get to love? What unlocks love in our life is how we forgive. They are connected. It's like the hand in the glove. How do we become generous? That depends on how compassionate we are. Because we can be generous if we have next to nothing in terms of possessions, but we can be generous with our kindness. We can be generous with our time, our ability to listen, to just sit and be with people. That doesn't cost us anything. And that is taking the gospel, the golden rule, and cranking it up a notch. It is challenging, but if I sort of look at it and I look at the instructions that Jesus gives us, and there are two elements to it. The first thing is that it's very simplistic. And I say, why is it such a challenge to do, to love, to forgive, to be compassionate, to be generous? So why is it so challenging? And if God is love, what's gone wrong in the world? Because the second element to me is that the ability to live this and to live this out is really sparse in the world today. It's an easy instruction. It's quite simplistic, yet it's sparse in the world. That action is not worldwide, and it's not making big headlines. So what's gone wrong? Would we say to ourselves, has God changed? Or have we forgotten who God is and how God becomes present in the world? And it seems to me that might be where we're at. How is God present in the world? He is present in you and I in the way in which we love, in which we forgive, in which we are exercising compassion and generosity. We are to be those things because we are made in the image and likeness of God. That is who God is. We are to be like this. We are to be like God because that's who God is. Love, forgiveness, compassion, and generosity.